The youth have something special for this morning. We worked on it during Sunday school. We want to have the youth involved a bit more during the worship service. So sometimes they've read scripture, sometimes they've lit candles. But this morning we wanted to read the scripture in a different way. And so this morning we put our minds together. We tried to use our creative abilities and come together with our reading. So I'll invite the youth to come up. So they'll read in English, and then Patsuka will read it in Karen.
If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, then you can have peace with Jesus Christ.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand.
I didn't believe.
I was an enemy.
I don't trust him.
I ran away from God.
But Jesus still loved us.
And now we rejoice in the hope and glory of God. And we rejoice in what God has done for us.
Be saved and change your life.
Hold on to salvation and never give up.
For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
Not only this, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation.
Jesus has done so much for us. We have come to life. Praise God, Jesus, turn on the cross.
In high school, one of my favorite verses that I would say over and over and over again was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm just curious, how many of you, was that an important verse in your life at any time? Was it just me? Patty, Debbie, Paul, Mark, okay, Samita. It was really important to me. I remember being so scared before a basketball game that I would drink Pepto-Bismol and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember being so afraid I was going to forget the lines to the play when I was in the school play and behind the curtains thinking, I'm never going to remember all these lines. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can remember practicing what I was going to say before I made a phone call, practicing it so many times to reach out to a friend who we had a broken relationship and I was going to try to reconcile. You know, before I dialed the phone, remember those days? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was just a very important, especially when I was young, to think about it's not in my own strength that I do these things, but it's through Christ. Well, this past year, I went on sabbatical/vacation, as some of you like to call it. And two different times I was at Catholic retreat centers. Once I was cleaning toilets and washing dishes so that everybody else could have a silent retreat. And the other time I was the one having the silent retreat. But I went to Mass every day, and I was raised Mennonite, not Catholic, so this was all new to me. And every single Mass, these words were said by the priest, through him and with him and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. And it's sort of like a doxology, but it's in the midst of the service, but they say it every time. And for some reason, well, by the Spirit, I guess, the words through him, with him, and in him became kind of like those of you who remember Kmart used to have blue light specials, became like a blue light special, like flashing, like through him, with him, in him. And so I started the practice over the summer, over that time of when I'd wake up in the morning, when I'd go for walks, when I'd take a hike, when I'd be out at the beach, when I was trying to plan for my wedding, when I was dealing with some family stuff, some conflict, and there were lots of texts and crazy things going around that made me just want to, you know how that is, just makes you want to hide under your bed. All of those times, through him, with him, in him. This is how I get through. This is how I live. This is how I every day make the choices. And when you're away from your regular busy life, like I was on sabbatical, you're more able, I think, to kind of just enter into that place. I haven't been as faithful at entering into it since I've returned. So I'm glad to be in this sermon series because that makes me really process it again and think through it again. So I wanted to do a series, even though the worship planning committee wanted to do a series on Revelation, Deb, right? But we will do that eventually. But I felt that God was inviting me to do this series, probably working on myself, but also for all of you, on through him, in him, and with him. So that's a little background. That word through is a small little preposition, and yet it has big implications. As I started reading through Scripture, I saw it everywhere through Christ. When you read through Scripture looking for one idea or one verse or one concept, you find it. Both Colossians and John say that all things were created through Christ. We think of God as creating the world, but this mystery of the Trinity is an amazing thing. That's why the triangle is here, as Danilo said earlier in the service. This mystery of how all things were created through him, and in this case, talking about Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "There is one Lord Jesus Christ, and all things exist through him, and we live through him." Every breath we take, go ahead, take a breath, just feel it, is because of him. Because of him. And then we have in our 13 scriptures, we have this verse, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's one of our 13 scriptures that we picked out that we said was so important to us. It is through Christ that we have access to the Father. Jesus said, when he was teaching, and I loved Pam's, you know, the image that Pam had with the kids with, I really want to know what was in that scientifically, right? Like, what was that liquid that made everything turn clear again? But we have so many images in Scripture of salvation and what it looks like. And Pam shared another one today. But Jesus shares another one when he's talking to folks. And he says, you know, when you think about sheep coming in and out, and going out to pasture and being safe in the fold, he said, "I'm like the gate. I'm like the door there. And whoever enters through me will be saved." So Jesus also is the good shepherd, right? But another image he gives is that he's like the gate. He's the doorway. He's what we have to go through in order to be friends with God. We say it in our covenant. We'll be having Covenant Sunday in a few weeks. We say Jesus is the center of our life. And the reason we say that, of our faith, I mean, the reason we say that is because everything is done through Christ. That's the way God ordained it, so that he would receive glory. So let's look at our scripture today. Thank you so much, youth, for doing that. And I think about the time that you took looking at that scripture and putting parts of it in your own words. And trust that God is using that to work in you. But let's us adults look at the scripture. And there's some things underlined and some things highlighted. But as you look at that, notice that the word through is there 5 times. Lots of things are done through the work of Jesus. Through his work on the cross. Through his resurrection and his life. But what do we receive through Christ's work? The kids mentioned some of the things, but just you can call out, looking at the scripture, what do you notice that we get through Christ or we receive through Christ? It's not a trick. Any answer is fine. Peace. We are justified through Christ. We receive peace through Christ. What else?
Faith.
We have faith. Salvation. Hope.
Grace.
There's a big one you're missing. To be reconciled. It's there three times in that second part, right? It's like, don't miss it. Blue light special. You got to be reconciled. Yeah, there's all these things, and there's so many more in Scripture, but just in this text, what do we receive through Christ? And before we explore this a little bit more, I want to make a note. I want to explain something. Notice that the very first line says, we are justified by faith. When you read that in its original language, I think we automatically used to think, oh, that means by my faith. I have faith, so I'm justified by my faith, right? But as scholars have studied it, they started wondering, whose faith is it that justifies us? Is it our faith, or is it the faithfulness of Christ, the faithfulness of God? And so some translations say we are justified by faith. Some say we are justified by his faithfulness. And one of the translations, I guess, decided, you know, it's probably a both and. So they put, we are justified by his faithfulness combined with our faith. Because we can't really fully know from the original language what was intended. But I prefer to think, thank God I am justified by his faithfulness. Because I have a lot of faith, but sometimes I doubt. And so I'm so thankful that my justification does not depend on my ability to have faith. And we talked, before I left Sunday school, Nydia, we talked about this a little bit. You were wondering, do I have enough faith? Praise God. I mean, I want you to have faith, but it's really his faithfulness that makes your faithfulness possible, right? And that we can say amen to. That's a big amen. So I wanted you to just notice some of those things. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, in Christ, now listen to this, it's a little confusing. In Christ, every one of God's promises to all of us, all the promises that God made throughout all of Scripture, every one of God's promises is a yes. God will keep his promise. And then it goes on to say, for this reason, we then are able, through Christ, to say yes back to God. So God kept all of his promises to us. Yes, and we are able to say yes back to God because through Christ, the work of Christ. So let's go on and look at some of those things that you noticed and just talk a little bit more about them. These are the things, I think you got every single one of them. Oh, we didn't say access to God. But Patoka and I talked about that earlier today during Sunday school time. We were looking at the scripture about that access to God. So through Christ, this is just in this one text, the things that we have. We've been justified. We've been made righteous. It's interesting, justice and righteousness, those two words have the same Greek root, the same Greek word. So we have been made right, or we have been justified. We have been, our relationship with God has been made right. We always break the covenant with God. We do. Israel did. We do too. Even our baptismal vows, we don't always keep them, right? So God said, even though you don't keep it, I'm going to keep my end of the covenant. I am going to make things right between us through Christ. And that's what that means, to be made justified, to be made right. It means God kept his end of the deal, the covenant, the promise, by sending Christ. We have peace with God. We have friendship with God. You know, the picture that Pam talked about with the children of Adam and Eve being friends with God and walking in the garden and hanging out together, what a beautiful image. And then we have the other image where Adam and Eve were hiding from God because they knew they had sinned. And this ability, this bringing two together that God does, that Jesus does, bringing us to God so that we can have peace and we can have friendship, We don't have to have fear. It's an amazing gift. We have access to God now. We no longer have to go through a mediator or a burnt offering or a priest. God made a way for us to know him. We've received grace. That's undeserved favor. I have done nothing, absolutely nothing, to earn. Paul says, he lists a list of accomplishments of why he's the best Jew, the best Pharisee, the best Christian he could be. And he says, it's all dung or, you know, a pile of the other stuff that we're not supposed to say in church. It's all dung. It's all just cow manure. All my good deeds mean nothing. But it's what Christ has done. We cannot. Thank God we do not have to earn our salvation. Every other way of looking at religion and the world, the other religions, you're always trying to do something to get to God, to be better, to do it so that you can be saved, if you will, achieve nirvana. But in Christianity, we understand the truth, which is that, no, we can't climb up that mountain. God came to us. God came to us through Christ. And therefore, we get to dwell with God. We get to know God. We get to have his spirit living within us. Reconciled to God is another one that was in that text. It was mentioned three times. And really, everything in this whole text is about this idea of reconciliation. This right relationship, this having peace, this having access, this means that you're no longer enemies with God, but you're friends with God. You are friends with God. It's even a bigger picture, and Paul writes about it in Ephesians, where he says, not only did Christ make it possible for us to be reconciled to God, he made it possible for us to be reconciled with one another. He breaks down the dividing walls so that we can be in relationship with each other. Salvation and healing. I put healing up there because the word in the Greek is sozo, which is to heal or to save. And so we receive healing, we receive God's salvation. Now the scripture, if you go back to Naveen, can you just go back a slide? Notice what it says, we will be saved. It's interesting in this scripture because in the beginning it talks about what already happened. We've already been justified. It talks about the present. We have peace with God right now. And it talks about a future, a hope that we have, and the fact that we will be saved. Salvation is so big. We have been saved by Jesus' work on the cross. We are still being saved, and we will be finally and fully whole and saved and healed when Jesus comes again or when we go to be with him. So there is this idea of this salvation is so big, it covers the past, it covers the present, and it works its way into the future. It's a big idea. Okay, go back. I just wanted you to see that. Salvation and healing is ongoing. And the last one is we can be confident, we can have confident hope now and also about our future. In my translation, when I was reading the scripture, it says, I will boast twice. I will boast. I will be proud. I will boast about what God has done or what God will do through Christ Jesus. And I looked up that word because in other translations it said, I will rejoice. And I was like, rejoice, boast, which is it? You know? So I looked it up and it's like this word that means I will lift my head up high. So I will be confident, not in myself or in my goodness, but confident in what Jesus has done. I will rejoice in that. I will boast in that. Never in myself, but in what he has done. So many good gifts that we need to thank God for every day that we have through Christ. We have them. I don't know that we always make use of them, but we have them available to us. Paul uses a lot of words. Sometimes it's nice to use pictures. Pam used a beautiful picture or image for us to see. Some other pictures. I love the picture of the prodigal son and the father. That's really what this passage is talking about. It's talking about when you are separated from God and you are able to be brought together, not by anything that you did, but because of God's lavish prodigal, wasteful love. That's what the word prodigal means, wasteful. God was so loving as a father. He brought that son back into the fold, forgave him. Another little image that kind of springs to mind. I picked it because it has a triangle, and here we have a triangle representing God. Oftentimes, we can know about God. We are standing outside, away from God. We can know him, about him. We can understand things in our brain about him, not his fullness, but we can start to. But the invitation is to be in communion with God, to be in the fullness of loving and knowing and being in a relationship with God, and he's living in you, and you're living out of what you know him inside of you. It's different than just a head knowledge. And I think that's also a picture or an invitation when he sets us free from the sin or our old way of living and invites us into our new way of living. Other pictures that might represent what's here. Slavery, no longer a slave to sin. Being set free from that is part of what salvation is. Pam was demonstrating that when she grabbed, you couldn't all see, but she grabbed Amelia up and said, you were trapped, you were surrounded by sin, and Jesus made it possible for you to be set free. And we said that Jesus is our gate. He's the way through from death on one side to life on the other. So those are just some images of perhaps what this text is inviting us to. And there's so many more in Scripture, so many more ways, because salvation is so big. It has so many, just like I love the image of like a shower just coming down and cleaning me. You know, there's so many different images. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can obey God instead of rebelling against him through Christ. I can be generous instead of selfish through Christ's work in me. I can have a spirit that's full of gratitude instead of bitterness through Christ's work and life in me. I can be kind instead of apathetic through Christ's work in me. I can be bold instead of living in fear through Christ who lives in me. I can have courageous vulnerability. Courageous vulnerability, rather than being closed off or cut off from people, afraid to let them know me, because of Christ working through me. I can be a peacemaker or a bridge builder instead of having a spirit of divisiveness through Christ working in me. I can love instead of hate through Christ working in me. Sometimes those things that I just listed seem as hard as walking on water. How many of you, did any of you watch the movie The Shack? So in The Shack, Jesus is walking with the main character, and he takes them and they walk on water. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of like Peter, you know? And later on in the movie, he's more confident now, and he's been forgiven, and he's excited. And so he decides to try to walk on water, and he immediately sinks. And Jesus is like, it just works a lot better if we do it together. And he takes his hand. It works a lot better. Life works a lot better when we learn not just that salvation comes through Christ, but that we live then out of that salvation with generosity and kindness and love and boldness and all those things I was just talking about. The ability to forgive someone instead of being resentful or hurt, you know, so wounded that we can't forgive. All of those things are sometimes harder than walking on water. But we can do it through Christ who strengthens us. We cannot do it on our own. I was talking to my niece after she had been on a missions trip for a year. She had been gone for a whole year in New Zealand. And we were sitting down and talking about how things had gone. And she said, one of the most amazing miracles that happened while I was gone, while I was however many thousands of miles away from my home, is that my parents' relationship, who I'd been praying for and trying to, like, make it work on my own, trying to, like, fix them, it's changed. I come back after a year. I'm changed from being in New Zealand. They're changed. And she said, and I had nothing to do with it. It was the Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing when we figure out, when we have those aha moments that, like, yes, God works through us, but sometimes we just have to step back or step aside and allow our lives and allow the work to be done through Christ and not try to take all of that responsibility on our own. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me salvation and enables me to live every day. The amazing thing is, I think, not only is it all those things we just talked about that we receive through Christ, that Christ then turns around and says, hey, Abby, P.S., I want to live through you. You live through me. I want to use you, Smita. I want to use your hands and your feet and your voice. Like, how amazing is that? We are alive because of what Christ has done. We live through him. And then he wants to turn now and live through us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's read that together. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a beautiful picture also in 2 Corinthians. In the Messiah, in Christ, this is from the Message translation, God leads us from place to place through us, through us. He then brings the knowledge of Christ to other people. It says everywhere we go, people can breathe in this aroma. I mean, we hope it smells good, right? This aroma that smells like salvation to those who are seeking God. God wants to work through us. We are alive because of the work through Christ that he did. And now Christ wants to live and move and work through us. I challenge you this week to, when you wake up in the morning, to either to say one of these things, to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, to start your day that way. Or to say, through him, in him, with him. Or our theme verse, in Christ I live and I move and I have my being. The little girls up here were having a little dance party. Rachel had to shut it down. You know, we couldn't get too uncontrolled, right? But, you know, you could get up and have a dance party with the Lord in the morning and say, in him I live and I move and I have my being. Everything is a gift from you. And I want to live this day with living through you and you living through me. That's what I want. That's the call of salvation. It's more than just I get a ticket to go to heaven. It's about how to live now in a way where we're, in a sense, inviting the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. Let's pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. You have made it possible for us to know God. To get that big, giant bear hug from a father who is not distant, but who loves us. You want to set us free from sin that enslaves us, that binds us, that holds us back. You want to give us peace that passes all understanding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, if there is someone here today that still hasn't understood how deep your love is for them, who hasn't yet said yes to all of your yeses. I just pray that your Spirit would move and invite and encourage them. Thank you that we don't have to be good enough for you. But it's your goodness that covers us. It's your righteousness that makes us right with you. And then you give us a whole lot of people to walk with us in your body, to help us as we learn together in this journey until we reach the fullness of salvation in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.